Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Talk Productions, one of the few black-owned radio programs that's explored the solution to the, for the black community, presents Black Urban America. All you folks out there listening by the laptops and computers or iPad, you may call in if you want to make a comment or ask a question. The call-in number is 516-531-9540. The call-in number, again, is 516-531-9540. The lineup for this week, starting December, the first Monday of December, which is December 7th. Starting Monday, December 7th, we have a new program called the Black Economic Independence Show by Gregory Ruffin. On Tuesday, you have myself's Black Urban America. And my name is Kenny Jones. Wednesday, we have The Cutting Edge with Michelle Williams. On Thursday, every other Thursday, we have the Port of Harlem Magazine Show with Mr. Wade A. Young. And on Saturday, finish up the week, we have Provocative Thought with Cough to Steve. All programs start at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. We had a long week with this election mess. You know, we had a long week, and as you know, there's drama. But I'd just like to say Philly, Atlanta, Milwaukee, Detroit brought it home. And then you had the Native American in Nevada and the Mexicans in Arizona. So black and brown people put this man in office. And I'm just wondering what he's going to do. He owes us. If he had to count on other cultures, he would be sitting in a seat. Donald Trump would have another presidency for 4 more years. But tonight's guest that's going to explain all this and put this into an analysis, and we're going to have a conversation about it. We have a powerhouse couple tonight. Husband and wife team. Both have PhD. The husband has a PhD in cell and microbiology. I don't know what that is, but I think it's studying our cell system in our bodies. And the wife has a PhD in polymer chemistry. Also, the wife ran for the State House for District 86 in DeKalb County, Georgia. And I welcome them both. And their names are Dr. Clement Bolton II and Dr. Ladina Bolton. That's the wife, y'all. Welcome to Black Urban America. How are you this evening?
Wonderful. I love that. I love that you explained in simple terms what my husband does. You did a great job on that. That was awesome.
I just looked at the word biology.
Exactly. Yeah.
Last month, we had another scientist by Dr. Jasmine Clark that is in the house for District 108 for a Mountain Park. I want to ask you, why are you scientists? You know, politicians' backgrounds were usually in law or education. You guys are scientists, purely scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you involved in politics?
You know what? If we really think about it, the having lawyers be the ones who dictate the laws and legislation is probably the wrong direction to go, because the people that they're making laws for, they're not lawyers. We are regular people, whether we're scientists, we're teachers, bankers, you know, whether we work in food service or retail, whatever it is. Like, it gets to the point where the language of the laws is so high-level language that it doesn't speak to the people that it's regulating. So we, you know, we need a diverse group of people. We need farmers, because why would a lawyer be there making laws dictating what farmers can and can't do when most of them have never been on a farm before? And now that we're in the midst of the
pandemic, they probably don't even know what a farm is if they dropped it in.
Exactly. And you're right about that. So especially now with COVID being so prevalent, this is the time that we do need scientists to come in and dictate, you know, what type of regulations should be put in place to help the economy get back on track. Healthcare, you know, we need more doctors and nurses. People who know about these things should have a greater voice when it comes to those pieces of legislation. So, and then not to mention, you know, scientists are very data driven. We look at the numbers. We're not making guesses. We're not basing off of Wall Street and who's making money. We are looking at the data to determine what direction we should go. And we always have a strategy to get there, because that's what it means to be a scientist.
Yeah, they say numbers don't lie.
That's right.
Dr. Bolton, the husband. Hello?
So, yeah, I'm going to bring him in because, you know, we're family.
Oh, I thought he was here. I thought that was him. Or another 404 number. Oh, sorry. Let me put that back in queue.
No, I can't. He's on the line with. He's on the line with me, just taking care of the boys. But he's ready to come in and let everybody hear his voice and his opinion. Dr. Bolton.
Dr. Bolton, welcome to Black Talk America.
Good evening, rather, everybody.
How's everything?
Hey, man, I can't complain, man. Today's
sharing
your
child care duties, huh?
Oh yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a real dad. You know what I'm saying? I got a real job,
that.
And then I come home to my second job. This, you know, full time dad is my second job.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, you gonna have many years of that. Let me tell you that. You just start now. Let me ask you.
Yeah, I know, right?
Let me ask you this, Dr. Bolton. When your wife came to you and said, "Honey, I'm going to run for the House," what was your first reaction?
I didn't want her to. Yeah, I didn't want her to. You know, because to me, you know, politics is a really dirty game. And,
oh, it's very
you know,
grimy.
I know that she's not dirty.
Very grimy, but, Dr. Bolton. Very grimy.
Yeah, very grimy. And I know that she's not crooked, but, you know, people have ulterior motives. So I didn't want her to run initially. But, you know, the more we talked about it and the more, you know, she convinced me that, you know, it was her passion and this is what she really wanted to do, the more I became on board. Now, I really, really, you know, truthfully and honestly wasn't 100%, you know, the whole time because, like I said, you know, it's a dirty game. And then, you know, we get into, you know, I have to mature because every time we go somewhere, you know, it's a dude, you know, with his hand out ready to give my wife some money, ready to give my wife a kiss on the cheek, you know. So, I'm not good with that. So I had to mature. So it's a lot that I had to deal with. But, you know, towards the middle and the end, you know, I was really on board. And, you know, I said that, you know, next time she runs, I want to look at it as our campaign. This time I looked at it as her campaign. So next time it's going to be campaign. So, you know, that's what it is. And to make a long short.
And how do you feel about? And then I'm going to ask your wife this question after I ask you this question.
Okay.
How do you feel about what happened this week with the election, the longevity, the allegations, and what do you think, what's your perspective of what happened this week?
Well, Man, I'm really excited. You know, it's a couple reasons, you know, and it's multifaceted. Number one, I think I'm really excited because it was a lot of first-time voters. And, you know, we've been under the impression that, you know, my vote doesn't count. So for the United States to count every vote, man, that was major. So that showed a lot of people who, you know, first time it was voting that, you know, the system works. You know, my wife and I had a conversation. You know, she said that, you know, Caucasian Americans, they go vote. You know, for us, we don't really vote. And I said, because the system really doesn't work for us. But now, you know, we see that the system works for us, and now every vote counts. So that was the first thing. The second thing, man, I'm so proud of Kamala Harris. You know, to see, first of all, I tell people, you know, I'm an educator, so I tell my students, hey, man, if I was an alien and I didn't know anything about your culture and I came to your neighborhood and stayed for 30 days, I wouldn't think anything of a black woman. But black women are the most educated group of people in America. You know, but the rappers, you listen to the rappers, they treat them like anything else. So I'm proud for sisters, you know.
Let's stay on that. Let's stay on that, Dr. Bolton. I want to ask you this. Why are other cultures, why other people rather deal with the black woman instead of the black man? Or do you feel that way?
That's simple. Yeah, I mean, I tell my wife that all the time. Sometimes she don't agree with me. But the answer is fear. Fear, man, you know, because, like, when you look at it, there are more black women in corporate America than black men because, you know, if you
and
get a real
every
brother.
Facet, in every facet, too, there's more black women than black men. But there are more of us in prisons than black women. Let's look at that equation.
Yeah, and I was telling my wife, you know, I believe there's more black women in politics because fear. Yeah. Man, if you get a real brother, he going to bring another real brother. So instead of them bringing real brothers, they'll get skin folk, not kin folks, like the Attorney General of Kentucky, like this clown. You know, like we'll get some people that we think are down for the cause, but they're not really down for the cause. But it's fear. You know, like you and the thing is, you can't control us. You know, like if anything happens, we're going to tell. And it's, I mean, it's just so much, you know, I don't really want to get into that right now, but man, the simple answer to that is fear. You know, they fear black men, the strength of a real black man. Now we'll get somebody that's different, if you know what I'm saying. We'll get somebody that's different because he's not a threat. You know, they think we want their women, but their women want us. So you know, it's a lot that goes into that equation.
Yeah. Let me ask you wife a question, please.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Dr. Bolton. After I ask you this question, after you respond to this question, I'm going to have the host of the Cutting Edge. She's on tonight, and she's going to ask you a question. I just want to know, what was your feelings about this election this week? Negative or positive feelings? What was your outcome of this?
Like a lot of people, it was an emotional roller coaster for me because I understand that, you know, although there were some people who voted the Biden-Harris ticket because they believed in that duo, even more people voted for them because they were simply voting against Donald Trump. And you have some folks, whether they look like us or whether they don't, who can go down a laundry list of stuff he did for our people over the past 4 years. But I see it as that was an abusive relationship where he verbally abused you, get other people to come out and abuse you, and then come back and bring you some flowers and try to convince you he really had your best interest in mind. So what he did, and I'll say Trump was the best and worst juxtaposition to happen in America. We needed that to happen in order for us to really progress forward. All this stuff that Democrats, independents, and everybody say that they represent, it was all just language. It was all just on paper, but we got to see a lot of it come to fruition because the Biden-Harris pair look more like true America. It's men, it's women, it's black, white, Indian.
Let me hold up, Dr. Bolton. Mm-hmm. I've been following this election since the primaries where you had like 15 Democrats. 15 Democrats going for the nomination. I didn't see too many black males surrounding Biden. I really didn't see it. I saw Asians. I saw Latinos. I saw black women. You know, I saw white folks. I didn't see hardly no black men surrounding him.
And you're right. Not even Kamala Harris. She probably got a few more, but statistically, when you look at the data, it actually says a lot more black men still voted Republican, and that's because when they look at Trump, even though we don't like some of the stuff he says, he still looks like power. Whereas with Biden, he doesn't exude that same strength and power authority that Trump does. And, so,
and plus, Biden put a bill out that locked up 800,000 brothers. In 94.
And you know what? That was so many years ago. Now think about the relationship you in now. I don't know if you're married or not. I'm married. And if I count all the stuff against my husband, what he did to women so many years ago, we never would have been married. And the thing is about Biden, he even, you know, post being vice president for Lord, what's his name?
Obama.
Only black president. Obama, thank you. I can't believe I forgot that. Prior to being his vice president and during that time, they tried to overturn that stuff. You know, whether it was truly because he felt it was wrong or it was just a strategy for him to get to this step, he still tried to correct those things. He will come out and verbally say those things were wrong. It never should have happened. And in his
policy,
you know,
he called his name. I saw the speech. I remember the speech. You know, he called us names. He called black men names. He called us super predators, which is, I mean, that's no different than Donald Trump calling us thugs at the police convention in Atlanta in 2016, I believe it was.
But the difference is Trump is still doing that. Biden ceased doing that years ago.
Hold
Trump
up. He just told Charlemagne the God, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
I don't think it should have come out of a white man's mouth, but it's true. I think I'm going to say it like this, and I might get some pushback. I think you're a fool if you're a black person and you voted for Donald Trump. And he telling white supremacists to hold your guns in your hand, wait until I give you the call, and then go get them. Like, you're a fool. It shouldn't have come out of a white man's mouth, but I wholeheartedly am behind him in saying that. My husband have a reply to that, too.
So this is the thing.
Go ahead, Dr. Bowden. It goes back
to this. When they see us, the Ava DuVernay movie, When They See Us, Donald Trump took out, I call him Donald Trump. Donald Trump took out an ad calling for the death penalty for these young brothers who didn't commit a crime. You know, so at the end of the day, you want to kill these brothers. Now, Joe Biden, and now I was, let's set the record straight. I didn't want to vote for Kamala Harris because don't act like Kamala Harris didn't lock brothers, black and brown brothers up in Cali when she was district attorney.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Yes.
She locked
so
up a whole lot of them. And she's a prosecutor.
That's why I had a problem with her running for president. However, you have to understand, man, and see this is the thing. When it comes down to politics, you have to select the lesser of the two evils. Like, who's worse?
See, I'm tired. See, Dr. Bolton, I'm tired of choosing between Satan, the devil, and evil. I'm tired of that. All these people in this country, we always got Satan, the devil, and Lucifer running for the the lesser two evils.
Hey, that's why we're gonna vote for Dr. LaDina Bolton. That's the better alternative. But you know, you got to get your feet wet. So my thing is, at the end of the day, you know, Donald Trump, you got to look in his beginning in New York, how he was they had lawsuits against him for predatory lending, how he was doing housing. He wouldn't rent black people. So man, it's not what you say, it's your actions. People say, oh, Joe Biden passed the bill to lock these brothers up. He wasn't the only person that signed it. No one person has the power to change anything. He wasn't the only person that signed it. And then he admitted that he was wrong. This is the second thing. When it comes down to it, Mike Pence, he had the fly on his head. he sat there and said, the Democrats say there's systematic racism. There is no systematic racism. But the Democrats said, hey, they at least acknowledge something is wrong. I can't say, you know what, if I'm an alcoholic, the first step is acknowledging something is wrong. So
right.
The Democratic Party at least acknowledge that there's a problem. Nobody else is getting shot in the streets. White Americans aren't getting shot in the streets. Native Americans aren't getting shot in the streets. Indian Americans aren't getting shot in the streets. Chinese, Japanese, nobody's getting shot in the streets by the police but us. How can you take
yes.
an armed Caucasian American?
And also, Dr. Bolton, we are shooting each other, too. Let's not throw that under the rug. I just want to say this, and I'm going to bring the other hosts on. Yes, I think it's 50-60 blacks that get shot by the police every year, but it's like in Chicago, it's like 134 on the weekend, you know. So
mm-hmm.
let's not sweep that under the rug now. If we I'm about condemning the cops, but also about condemning brothers who want to take another brother's life. Go ahead, Michonne, what's your question?
Okay. I want to know why does the Democratic, well, the black people are always coming to Joe Biden's rescue. And far as when you say voting for the lesser of two evils, I think that is some of the dumbest stuff I have ever heard in my life. I mean, I don't even know how anybody can even say, well, I'm a vote for this evil over that evil. Evil is evil. Period, point blank. And it doesn't matter which one of you answers that. But my other question I want to know, but since we are a divided states of America and the Pledge of Allegiance is a lie, why can't black people get liberty and justice in America?
So we're going to have to answer one question at a time, and you're going to have to go back through them because you asked like three or
okay,
four
I'm
going to
go back to the first one. Okay,
wait
I'll go back to the first.
We can start with the question or the comment about choosing between the lesser of two evils being the dumbest thing you ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
I don't know if you know this, but there were only two options for president. So if you didn't vote for one, you had to vote for the other, or you don't vote at all, but you're still going to get one or the other. So what most people try to do is choose the one that makes their life less miserable. And that's what we mean by choosing the lesser of two evils. So, and the way not to do that is to make sure you go vote in the primary. So, like the brother said, we had about 17 options in the primary. But when not enough people come out and vote in the primary, then you don't vote
for them for over 14
that you want to have. Hello, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said black people have been voting Democratic, the majority of them, for over 40 years.
You said
they
four
still
or
asking
40.
For the same things that they were asking for 40 years ago.
40.
They're still having the same issues. They're still having the same problems. So obviously the Democratic Party isn't working for black people truly, because all they do is use them for their vote. And when they don't need them anymore, they go away until they need them again. So black people need to stop voting for these people who are not going to do anything for them.
Yeah, so I'm going to say this quick, and then my husband wants to respond as well. But I think that's a misunderstanding on your part, because the Democratic Party is inclusive of so many demographics. They can't just go in and only do a sweep for black people. In order to keep their base, they do a little bit for everybody. Can I finish
okay,
my statement?
Go ahead.
A little bit for everybody. And in the state of Georgia, what we've seen, we have criminal justice bills. We have bills on the docket where felons can vote. And the majority of felons in Georgia are African American. We have many bills on the books that are benefiting African Americans. Now, on the federal level, you know, that doesn't have as much effect, but locally, here in the state of Georgia, it is making a difference. And black people do not, contrary to popular belief, we do not just automatically vote Democratic. We vote towards the party that we feel most aligns with our values, and in the last 40 years, that has been the Democratic Party. And my husband wanted to add to that.
Okay, go ahead.
I will let you respond. I'll let you respond because I know you had something to say.
Okay. What I'm going to say is this. The majority of the black people that I know personally are more conservative. They're against homosexuality, the majority of them that I know. They claim to have Christian values, and you can't be a Christian and then have those same values unless you're being a hypocrite. Anyway, and another thing, for example, is most of them I know are against abortion. And that's just the name, too. So a lot of black people who are Christians vote Democrat.
Right.
And they're not getting nothing. And it's going against what their core values are when they make these votes.
So your alternative is to vote Republican?
I'm going to vote for whomever I feel that's going to be best for me.
And so the thing is, at the end of the day, you have to think about it like this, the hypocrisy of the Republican Party. So Barack Obama tried to appoint a Supreme Court justice 10 months, and 10 months before the election. The Republicans blocked that, no, no, no. But then you turn around, Donald Trump appoints somebody when it is an election. So that's hypocrisy. So yeah, you have Christian values, but you're a hypocrite. And Jesus called that out. You hypocrite. Now, my thing is, I don't care what your sexual preference is. You know, as long as you don't bring that my way. I don't judge you, but I know one thing. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself.
And I'm more conservative, so I'm not going for that.
It's understandable.
I'm not like, people do whatever they want to in their bedroom. I don't want to see it. I want to hear about it. But
yeah.
I'm not going to be like walking around with no LGBTQ people who
have
converted
to. That's
rainbow.
That's your choice. But see,
right.
That means that
you're
an informed voter.
Or anything like that.
Okay, we have a caller. Let's go to this caller. We have a caller. 8051, you're on the line. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Thank you. I think I'm getting the names right. I'll say husband and wife.
Yes,
I'm listening to the caller. I listen to the host of The Cutting Edge. And you know what I have to say about what she said? She's nuts. I believe if God gives you a choice, whether you want to be a Christian or not, you have a choice to vote either way you want to. And he didn't say you had to bring in your Christianity. He did not say that. He give you a choice.
And God ain't told
you
that.
To suffer the consequences.
God did not tell you that.
Let the caller speak. Let the caller speak.
And I can understand that. Why not choose? Like you said, we didn't have really a choice. We had two people that was running. You vote for whoever. I wouldn't, and I agree with whoever said any black person that voted for Trump was nuts. And
I believe anybody that gives their vote away for free is nuts.
Let me finish.
Thank you.
Anyway,
go ahead, 8051.
He said the same thing to the white folks. He was a Democrat himself and said when he decided he wanted to run for president, he was going to run as a Republican because they were dumb and stupid. And I'll tell you one thing this election did bring to light about us black people. We did unite, and that's something they say we would do not have. It's unity within our own race. We came together this time. And
that's right.
You all say, what are we going to do Now, everybody knows what needs to be done. All we have to do is get it done. You know, they have many dialogues. I've been in dialogue when I lived in Pennsylvania. I said, why am I sitting here dialogue on poverty or racism? You know what the deal is. Quit. But they like to talk about stuff. And then we got to stop the politicians who's on the case from telling us one thing and they doing another with their vote in Congress. The president cannot do anything, basically, without the House and the Senate. And
that's
some
right.
of those that in the House is going along with the president. I don't care what they tell us. You need to check those laws that's being made. Trump was a distraction to them so they could get the dirty work done. And now they just about got everything they wanted done, and they don't need him no more. They don't drop him soon. They're just letting him run his course because he's got everything done that they wanted done to do against black people. But what we got to do is come back out, get out of our house, and if you didn't vote, don't stay away. You don't have nothing to say because you didn't do anything to help either way. And I'm done. And I like you all conversation, Mr. and Mrs. Doctor
Bolton. Okay, thank you, caller. I want to change the direction of this conversation. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We got this man in here. All right. One thing about the caller said, you know, black folks didn't unite to vote for this guy, Joe Biden. And just too bad that we can't unite on other issues. All right. Okay, we got this guy in there. All right. And he even said it, you know, African Americans helped him get the White House. Okay, fine, dandy. All right. Is he going to be like other politicians? Don't see him for another 4 years. Or he's going to do the work. You know, we have a couple of issues that I see in the black community across this country: housing, the wealth gap, reparations, police brutality. Where, as a community, you know, where do we go from here, Dr. Bolton?
I'm not sure if that was directed at my husband or myself, but I'll.
Oh, whoever. It could be you or your husband. Go ahead, Dr. Bolton. Well, you involved in politics, okay?
Yeah.
You take a crack at that question, Dr. Bolton, the wife.
So my response to that would be the majority of the things that you named and the majority of things that are of concern to us, regardless of what the president does or says, regardless of Congress or the Senate, all those things can be affected locally with whether it's your governor or your state-level House of Representatives and state-level Senate, your commissioners and mayors. All those people have the capacity to govern their communities the way they see fit and personalize it. Because at the federal level, they just do a blanket decision for everybody. And every community is different. For example, we all know that Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms has been doing major things in the city of Atlanta that goes against the governor, goes against the president. But as she and her cabinet sees it, it protects the people in the community of Atlanta and all those who visit regularly. And she has the authority to do those things. So, I mean, we want the president to do what he's supposed to do, but because he is not a dictator and he doesn't have the capacity to do them on his own, he has to have Congress's support. He has to have the members of the Senate and in some cases the Supreme Court. We shouldn't just look to that person. We need to look at what's going on locally. And it's Kamala Harris's position and some of the things that Biden says at their level of leadership that makes it easier to get those things done at the local and state level of leadership.
And it's one thing I could say this, and I hope nobody gets me wrong. During the past 4 years, I saw more organizing and mobilization, more platforms being generated because we had a president in the nature of Donald Trump. Now, do you think, and I hope that people that have these platforms, people that are mobilizing, people are organizing in their communities, I hope they continue. Do you think by having this Joe Biden as president, you think we're going to fall asleep like we did during the Obama years?
So I'll respond to that. Now, my thing is, I don't think so, because I think you have inspiration. So I think, number one, more black women are going to run. That's number one.
So you're right.
More black women are going to run. And, man, I say this all the time. Black women, not just black women, women do a lot of things better than men. And one thing is organized. They're very detail-oriented. So I think that, you know, you're going to have a lot more black women run, and then we can ride this blue wave, because I believe next time it's time to vote for governor, Stacey Abrams is going to run and win. You know,
she
because
almost
of
won
what we set up. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
She almost won last time.
She almost won last time, but now I believe that so many more people have been enlightened. You know, so many people have seen that, man, my vote counts. Like, this is the first time they have ever counted every vote in the United States, first time ever. So my thing is, you know, I believe that Stacey Abrams is going to run again and win because of what, you know, the groundwork that started 4 years ago. So I believe that we're not going to fall asleep. And, you know, I just want to backtrack. The host said, you know, you give your vote away for free. Like, the thing is, man, you got to understand what's in it for you. Like, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris said, oh, man, they're going to do the $15,000 tax credit on the homes. That plays a role in what we're going to do, because that's how you buy the block back. That's the next step for black people, is to own something.
And build wealth.
And build generational wealth. You know, like, so many times we don't, you know, and I tell people. Because
do we need the politicians for that? I mean, we can start businesses on our own and buy property and land on our own. You know, do we really need the politician to interfere with that? Or we just need to do our own thing?
For the tax break, you know, because like the tax code, they change the tax code every 2, maybe 3 years. So that part, that plays a role in it. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, when you vote for the betterment of society. You can't be selfish with your votes. You know, some people might disagree with me, but my thing is, you know, my wife and I are well off, you know, because she's a doctor and I'm a doctor. She got her PhD before me. But the thing is, our philosophy is, hey, I'm not eating until we eat. And that's the thing is, black people, we've always been community-oriented. All right?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Before I ask you this, I just want to say, people that want to make a comment or ask a question, press 1, or you can dial in 516-531-9540 and press 1. Do we need a black agenda?
Of course. In fact, everybody has their agenda. LGBTQ, under President Obama, they pushed the hell out of that agenda. The Jews, everybody has an agenda. But what we have to understand is we prioritize the bullet points, the benchmarks on that agenda, and we push for the things that are most important. And it takes so much energy to get those top priority things. We have to understand that we may not necessarily get everything in one administration, but absolutely, we need a black agenda. We need to prioritize those values and push for the things that are most important.
We have a caller. We have a caller. 0528, you're on the line. 0528, you're on the line.
Yes,
don't
Kenny?
Be shy.
Go ahead. Hello? 0528?
Yes, this is Richard Shaw calling. I'd like to ask Dr. Radina Bolton a question.
How you doing?
Yes. Fine, how you doing?
Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, Dr. Radina, Dr. Bolton?
Yes.
Dealing with the legislation area, Obama was faced with McConnell the majority speaker during this term, which blocked every significant measure legislation for black people. Biden's coming in January. Do you foresee the same problem that Obama faced? Because we need the majority of the Republicans in the Senate to make this a law as a bicameral legislation.
We're in a really, really, really good space right now. We turned Georgia blue on November 3rd, and Georgia also has two Senate seats that are now going to a runoff in January, which means if we get both of those seats, we'll have the majority. And I believe we also have the majority in the House. So if we have, when I say we, I'm talking about Democrats. If we have the majority, particularly in the Senate, but also in the House, that makes it that much easier to get legislation passed. But we have to do the work in Georgia. A lot of people, you know, in November 3rd, the November election, many more people come out to vote. It's very hard to get folks to come back out for a runoff, but the potential is there. And as long as we put the work in, we can get Warnock and Ossoff, who we know have been conditioned to vote for those things that we need to pass for our community.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to piggyback on your on your question. So I believe that he'll have similar difficulties or similar problems. He's facing similar problems. The thing is, man, you got to understand, people, I was reading this article today, certain people vote against their own interests. A lot of times they didn't vote against what President Obama did because it was bad legislation. They voted against what President Obama said and what President Obama wanted because he was a brother. Let's not forget that. You know, a lot of times we sit here and say, oh, you know, what was the problem? The problem was he was a black man, and they don't want to see a black man shine no matter who you are. Like I was reading a post on Instagram, and I don't know if you guys remember the character from Django, Samuel L. Jackson's character. He said, America's not mad about Joe Biden being president. They mad about that colored gal. So you have to understand, it's systematic racism. As black people, we face systematic racism, no matter who you put in the seat. Like this with the sheriff. So if we get the sheriff, whoever we get, are they going to stop locking up brothers disproportionately? If we get the chief of police that's black, that's for us. Is he going to stop locking up brothers, pursuing brothers? It's the system. It's systematic racism. So we need to just start over from square one. How we do that, man, I don't know. That I don't
know. You have another call.
But no matter who you – yeah, take the call. Take the call.
5240, you're on the line. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Oh yes, I like the what the doctor's talking about tonight, but the doctor who just spoke, man, systematic racism has been a problem, you know, for a long time. You know, even on my job, I remember that was a white supervisor who was doing all kind of crazy stuff, and African Americans never went down to City Hall and tell on him. So after he got out of there. The black guy, the good black Christian black guy that was good, everybody didn't fail. Don't you know that all the blacks ran down to City Hall, told on the man, emailing the man, and I said, you know what, man, that's wrong. The white guy did more damage, did all type of stuff, slick words out of his mouth, and not one Negro went down there and told, okay, only one. The rest of them ain't said in that time. The black guy get in charge, he gets so much hell about the overtime, so he tried to spread it out to everybody. Ain't nobody happy. Everybody sit down, man. He only gave me 2 weeks, because he's trying to give everybody a little time to make a little money, a little overtime. Everybody can't get it, so, man, he didn't get them 2 weeks. I'm going to go back down there. So, I mean, so my thing is, like, it's just systematic. I never had a black supervisor that I went and told on, because you know what? I'm glad that he was in that supervisor position. A lot of times he took me fair, but systematic racism have always upset me because, like I said, you got people right now with Kamala Harris. Or was she mad a white guy? What the hell does that have to do with, you know, I mean, blacks get me so upset because, man, they're trying to buy stuff that makes no sense. She married a white guy, or she did this, or she not one of us, or, I mean, it's just systematic racism have always going to be there. And on this show, I have always called and I've always said that I don't care what you're doing, blacks will get mad, blacks will get jealous. I've seen blacks want to rob blacks for just doing good. You know what I mean? and it's my thing, even growing up in the projects, I always seen black, if you're doing a little better or doing something, they mad at you. Instead of them getting out there grinding, going to work and doing themselves. Same thing with me. I had a car, a story. I had a car. I worked two jobs. You know what I mean? I had a little Nissan Sentra. It was white too, though. I went and got tinted windows. I went and got, I went to Circuit City, got my little stereo, got my little rims. I lay away overtime. I did all this. I got it. And two black guys, about a week later, broke into it, snatched my radio out, cut my seats up, bust my window panes. It hurted me so bad, I never gave a damn about another car again. Whatever I get, whatever God blessed me with, that's what I'm going to ride. That's all I got to say, and I thank you. Husband and wife team, you're doing a good job. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, Michonne.
Yeah, I have a question. Sorry, go ahead.
Good.
How do you all feel about defunding the police?
My opinion on that is probably different than most, because the way defunding has been defined versus the connotation versus the denotation of what that is, it varies widely. I think in my community in particular, we should not defund the police, because where I live, which is a marginalized side of town, we don't have enough officers. When we call the police, they might respond to you the next day, depending on what the issue is. So where I live, we need to invest more money in our police department so we can have more officers, good officers, reputable officers who have good intentions for my community. I don't think it needs to be a nationwide slate to say defund everybody. In some communities that, you know, that is an issue, we need to redistribute those funds to where they'll be better suited to meet the needs of the community. But I don't think that's a one-size-fits-all type issue, because where I live, I need more officers where I live. You want to add to that?
That's a multifaceted question. Because when you think about it, there, when you look at the United States, most African Americans live in urban areas. So when you get outside of urban areas,
that's why this show is called Black Urban America.
Yeah, you know. So the thing is, that's a multifaceted question. And like I tell people, and with Kamala Harris, she passed the law, the legislation to say police need to wear body cameras. Like, that was her bill. So, you know, when it comes to defund the police, I think you should do other things. This is what I did. I tried to get a petition on the White House when President Obama was there, and this was my petition. When police kill unarmed citizens, they need to be terminated without pay, and the chief or whoever their commanding officer is or whoever their head officer is, he needs to be reprimanded as well, because you know what's in their file. And you send this man out here, you know who he is. So you need to be reprimanded too. Man, I tried to pass that bill. I needed 10,000 signatures. Man, I probably got 2,000. So I
wow,
I
mean, that's all, just 2,000?
That's it.
Well, let me ask y'all this, and this anyone could answer this question. Has there ever been a police officer convicted of murder of a black man?
To my knowledge, no. Nope.
And no, I don't think so. Go ahead.
In the state of Georgia, they actually have a level of immunity, sovereign immunity, where, you know, most of them can say it was self-defense. And this happened to a friend of mine, 2012. I graduated from high school, and my buddy Corey Ward was killed by an Atlanta police officer. And they tried to say that, you know, he and his buddies were trying to run the officer over with a stolen vehicle. It was actually his mother's vehicle, and the police officers, they didn't, you know, they were in an unmarked vehicle. They weren't dressed in uniform or anything, so they just, you know, thought it was some guys trying to stick them up because the officers were trying to stop the car, so they were trying to get away. And the officer claimed that he only shot into the vehicle because it was self-defense. And here in Georgia, that legislation is called Bunn versus the state of Georgia, where if officers claim self-defense in an incident where they do murder someone, they don't have to go to court. A judge can grant them immunity from any sort of conviction. And I think it's like that in a lot of places. And that's actually up to be changed this year because of everything that happened with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. It's been brought up previously,
But this year, with everything that's been going on, we have the potential to get it passed in our criminal justice legislation this year in Georgia.
I know there have been payouts. You know, I know there have been payouts over the years of police brutality and what have you. But no one has not, you know, been convicted of, no policeman, officer has been convicted of, I don't think, of murdering a black individual, a man or a woman, you know, even caught on tape. That's ironic. You caught on tape. And you don't get sentenced to murder? I mean, I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I don't expect anything different. Now, here's the question. If there's going to be a difference under this administration.
I don't believe so. Now, let me tell you. It's happened one time when the girl, the white police went in and shot Buddy in his apartment, the black man in his apartment. They charged her with murder. The boy sitting on the couch eating ice cream in Dallas.
Mm.
He said she went to the wrong apartment on the wrong floor. They charged her with murder. But when you think about it, that goes back to the systematic racism, because even in Breonna Taylor's case, they didn't even put murder on the indictment. They didn't even indict them for murder. That wasn't even a charge that was in the indictment. So it goes back to the systematic racism. And if you charge police for murder, then, man, that changes the whole game, you know? That changes the whole game for law enforcement, period. So I don't believe that we'll see this. I believe they're going to have some changes, but I don't believe you're going to see more police charged for murder. Now, the guy that shot George Floyd, yeah, he should be charged for murder. I mean, knee on his neck, he should be charged for murder.
Well, all four of them. All four of them. Let me ask y'all this. And Michelle, I want you to chime in on this, too. I want to ask y'all this. In the next 4 years, will our lives be any different under this new administration? Hello?
That's an awesome question. Yeah. Did you want us to answer it first or Michelle?
Anybody could answer the question.
My husband said, please go first, because we've been talking a whole lot, and it'll only be fair to give her an opportunity.
Who, Michonne? Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
They want you to go first.
Okay. So as far as our lives being different because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be in there in office, I think our lives will be different if we change our lives, or if we keep doing what we're supposed to do for ourselves, yes.
I agree with you 210%.
I mean, because I think if you have to start where you are and you can't expect somebody to go in and do something for you and change your way of life or whatever you're trying to do. It depends on your mindset, your goals, if you have aspirations. I think it depends on a lot of things, but it wouldn't matter if they were in office or somebody else was in office. It depends on you and what you want in your life. So if you like things the way they are and don't want to do anything, so, you know, your life won't change maybe. I think it all depends on your mindset and whether you take action or not and pursue your goals and your dreams.
We agree wholeheartedly that it's up to individuals how their lives look moving forward. The only thing that I would add to that is the environment in which is created around your opportunities. There are some environments that make it much more difficult than others. Yeah, if he wanted to add to it, but he was going to say the same thing. So
I agree.
So obviously we still going to have the same inequities. We still going to have some of the same injustices. But individual communities have taken this as an opportunity to do things from which they wouldn't normally have. And I'll give you some examples where we live. The school board has always been, well, as long as I've been in this area, predominantly that black. And this is the first opportunity or the first time that the DeKalb County School Board has taken a Black Lives Matter sort of initiative. This is actually our Black Lives Matter week, in which Monday through Friday they have a series of events specifically catering to the improving the lives of our minority students, in which we're about 85% of the population. Also, our commissioners, they put forth a resolution. Our DeKalb legislation, which is in the state house, they've put forth legislation that is pushing for it to pass. And not that these things make it to where our lives will get better, but they are seeds to help us grow from that position. So still, I think it's up to us, but in this community, more opportunities have been created to make it a step easier, but we still have to do the work.
We have a minute left. We have about a minute and a half left. I just have one more thing I have another question to piggyback on that question. Should the black community of America, the black nation of America, depend on this administration to be in our corner? Now, I know we have another caller. Okay, let's get this caller in. Yes, 3764, you are on the line. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Hey, I'm Antonio Hayes. I know both the doctors, and I reside out in CD4, and I'm also a congressional candidate for CD4. My question.
Welcome to Black Urban America, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, you have a good program, so I've been listening in. So everybody's been doing great. My question, though, is what is the plan that we're looking for as a whole for the black community? Because that's the one question I ask for anybody that's looking for any elected official. I don't care if you're white, Asian, or whatever. What are you looking to get from the administration on how they can better improve your life? And like the other, when President Obama was in office and a lot of minorities were saying, well, he didn't do enough for us. What are we looking for as a people to benefit ourselves? Because first, we need people, and I'm going to say from my opinion, we need more people in the office. Because it was a comment that you had made that why can't we just go out and get real estate? Well, you can buy land, but you have to be able to develop that land. And you have to have a board to approve what you plan to develop on that land. And if you don't have representation in there from the community to come and put on their board, not just black people, because we have plenty of black people that sit on boards that don't approve everything for the black community, approve regular, you know, liquor stores and barbershops and Dollar Trees and everything else. But people that represent your community, you need them on the board that will actually propagate proper businesses that can attract more people to come down to your area as opposed to attracting them when it comes for gentrification. And the underlying question still needs to be asked, though, what are you looking to change within your community to benefit yourself? And the answer just can't be reparations, because what does reparations even look like? Because if I gave you $1,000, how are you going to even spend that money? Are you going to invest it back into your people? Are you going to invest it back into a small business that's black owned? Or are you going to turn around and just invest it back into your local, your big shopping mall and buy from everybody else?
So or give it to a culture. Or give it to a culture that don't like you. Spend with a culture that don't like
right.
you.
But, I mean, but even with that, though, we all have a little prejudice in us. So,
okay.
This being the black show,
it's been a good
show. I'm glad everyone.
I only have 30 seconds left, and I thank everyone for their comments and their call-ins. I thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Dr. Bolton, for coming on the show, and I hope everyone have a good week and tune in tomorrow for the Cutting Edge for Michonne Williams. As I always say, I am because we are because I am. Good night, everyone.
Hold it now.